CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Good morning, millennials, and welcome back to The Toast. Happy Tuesday. That feels like a Monday, so like it feels like a little dreadful, but like it's really not.
When you stop to think about it, it's not so dreadful.
When you stop to think about it, we're like 30% through the work week.
Through the work week.
Through the work week.
I think we're 20%. Well, I guess 10% from today already.
Right.
30%. Wow, look at that, Turdy.
I crunched the numbers and they're not looking half bad.
They're not so bad.
It's been a minute since we've been here. I hope everyone had an amazing weekend. We did. Fun friends, family eras. And that's really all you can ask for from a weekend. Fun friend, family era.
It's so true. We were all in the city this weekend because of eras. Because of Taylor.
Taylor like did kind of ruin any potential Memorial Day weekend plans. And like I'm not gonna lie, like in the beginning, like I was feeling a little bitter. You know, I can't take a trip.
Right.
But I actually ended up loving being home for the long weekend. The city was like kind of empty and it just felt, I kept thinking, it was still like pretty, it wasn't totally empty. Like some weekends, holiday weekends, it's for like abandoned.
Yeah.
But it was like pretty fine. And I was thinking like, I wish the city was always like this, you know, just like a normal amount of people on the street, not
You wish
empty.
For happiness like this forever?
Literally. That's how I felt Friday night at Eras. Like I really wished for happiness like this forever.
Well, I want to hear, Greatest Showman.
Yeah.
I want to hear all about Eras.
Well, I was always planning on going Saturday night. Like I had tickets with I didn't have tickets. A brand offered me, Margot and Ben, seats in their suite. So like I always knew I was going and I was going to try and get tickets the other nights, but like I was pretty content. I have been already in Nashville. I was pretty content just going Saturday. And then Friday day, you and I were just like hanging out with Rold and the fam and I was checking on
you
tickets.
You and Snitch were on ticket patrol.
We were just checking. And then we left your house at like 4 o'clock, maybe 3:30. And you guys, like you and mom were like really encouraging that we go. And I was like, all right. I mean, like if you guys are saying it, like maybe we should. I think sometimes, you know, we get a little fanatical, me and Margo, with our obsessions, and like you guys always reel us back in, but you were encouraging it. So I was like, oh, if Jax is saying and mom is saying, like I should definitely go. So I'm walking home from your apartment, refreshing StubHub. And at like 4:30, I'm like, Margo, like just get dressed. Like we're gonna go. We are gonna go. And as I'm doing my makeup, these tickets pop up on StubHub. We had been watching them drop slowly. And at first, like many months ago, we wanted to sit on the floor, but a lot of the footage that I've seen from the show is like, if you're on the floor and you're not in the first three rows, like you really can't see anything. And even if you're in the first three rows, the stage is so big. She spends like 10% of the time in front of you and then the other 90% away. So I'm like, I think maybe the hack here is lower bowl. And we really wanted first row, lower bowl tickets. But my God, the guy on StubHub like would not drop the tickets. He had so many tickets in the first row for like $6,000. I'm like, oh, this guy is nuts. So we bought a few rows back. They were definitely like double face value, but we thought we got a good deal because he had eventually dropped them. We bought the tickets at 4:30 as we were getting dressed. So we ran, we got dressed. We literally didn't look like special or amazing. We just like looked normal, but whatever. And we got to the stadium at like 6:30. We took an Uber. Like it wasn't really crazy planned. And we got there. The whole first row was empty. The guy never sold the tickets. We were so mad. And we asked,
could you take those seats?
We asked the security guard, like, could we sit there? And he was like, no. I'm like, okay. And
why'd you ask?
It was actually a conversation between me and Margo. Like, do we ask or not ask? And I think it's, you know, Margo wanted to ask. I wanted to not ask. Margo ended up asking and he said no. And I was like, damn, we shouldn't have asked. And then 5 minutes later, he was like, go. I think he saw us having like the best time. We literally had the whole first row to ourselves. It was so stupid
I didn't know that
that no one was sitting there.
Yeah.
But
that's
what
you get for asking.
Exactly.
Yeah. And okay. I didn't know that he eventually let you sit there.
Yeah. And this was literally in like the second era. So we were literally there the whole show. And then I was like, you know what? I'm glad we asked because he you know, respected us as being rule followers, respecting his authority. And then he ended up giving our seats to this little girl. So she got an upgrade. We got an upgrade. It was all good and fun. He really should have given like the front row seats to the little girl because she was so short, but whatever. I'm not complaining. We had the whole first row. We were like running and dancing. And oh my God, did we have the time of our lives? Like it was the best Eras tour I've been to. One, because it was clearly like a special night. We got a lot of surprises. Of course, we got Ice Spice. We got amazing special songs. We got Getaway Car and Maroon. She also then, you know, brought out all of her dancers. They all sat down on the stage and she's like, I'm going to premiere my new music video for you. It's out at midnight, but we're all going to watch it together. So it was like a special night, you know? And it was really just amazing. Like being there with Counts, like just, it was, I really can't put it into words. It was the best concert I've ever been to, the best Eras tour I've ever been to. And then it took a lot of pressure off the next night because we were in a suite and like technically it was like a work event, so we couldn't like be animals. So we were still, you know, vibing, but we weren't being like, we got it all out of our systems on Friday night. So I feel like I hacked it perfectly. We were even thinking of going Sunday, but at that point I was like, you know what? Let someone else go. We've seen enough. And I was beat. Like yeah. I was not okay. Like 3 hours, it was basically a 3-hour workout. Jumping, dancing, I didn't sit. I sat in between Eras while she was doing her outfit changes and there was like music playing. I needed, you know, the break. But I was up and at him, George McFadden, for the rest.
Yeah.
It was incredible. And then on the second night, we were able to get merch and I got the CD with the new song, even though like...
Even though you trashed it on the show last week, idea of it.
I have it as like a novelty. I'm never going to listen to the song. I don't have a CD player or a car or like a computer with a CD-ROM. So...
But like maybe one day you could sell it to a fellow Swiftie.
Yeah, that's... Turn a profit. That's definitely what I'm thinking, you know. Yeah. Keeping it in good condition.
I was cracking up when you and Margaret were like posting the CD after everything you said last week on the show about the idea of the CD.
No, one thing about me, like I'm going to make fun of something and like still do it, you know?
Yeah.
Because that's just me.
And you got merch.
I got merch. We got you merch.
Yeah, I got a t-shirt.
I got a quarter zip, which feels appropriate if you've seen my comedy show.
So true.
And it was just a fabulous weekend. And then also like I was able to... like sing my heart out Friday and Saturday night. And then literally all day, Friday and Sunday, I was with you enrolled. Like, what more could you ask for in a balanced weekend?
It was such a balanced weekend. We had so much fun. I mean, I didn't have the Eras portion, but it was really fun to be in the city. It was gorgeous weather this weekend. Like you couldn't ask for better. And we just got to spend a lot of time outside. Harry was having a blast. We went out to brunch by the water.
We went to the park.
We went to the park. We were park girly swirlies.
It was really fabulous, like enriching, balanced, revitalizing like wholesome weekend. I wouldn't have done it any other way, Jax.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad that it all worked out for you.
Yeah.
And now that's it. That's a wrap on the Eras Tour Turdy's version.
We'll see.
Where else would you go?
I don't know. Pittsburgh?
No.
It's close.
You would really go?
Yeah, I would go.
But you didn't go to night three.
I didn't.
Next door.
Yeah, no, I didn't.
Are you really considering it?
Yeah, like...
I support whatever you do.
If I have a free weekend and there's like a good destination, why not?
Okay.
You know?
And so let's talk about all in all the secret songs that you've procured for yourself.
Yes.
Because in Nashville, it was... Out of the Woods and 15.
Which was amazing. Like, they weren't even on my list, and I couldn't have asked for two better songs. And I really thought, like, I got special treatment, you know?
Then night one, you had Getaway Car and
Maroon.
When she
brought Jack Antonoff out. Like, Friday night was, like, a special night. She treated it differently. I'm so glad I went.
And then the Saturday night was...
Holy Ground. And then False God, which was okay.
False God. Like, the first of... The three, Out of the Woods.
15 and Holy Ground.
No, Out of the Woods.
Getaway Car
and Holy Ground. Like, would have been on my top, even maybe five.
Let me tell you something, though. Like, I have a bone to pick with Miss Taylor. She obviously kept choosing songs that had the word New York in it. Holy Ground is, like, all about the city. False God, Staring Out the Window, like, I'm Not Your Favorite Town. Maroon, it says New York. It's, like, all about New York. When I tell you at the concert, she's like, hey, Jersey. She never called us New York. And then she sang Welcome to New York on the third night. She kept calling us Jersey. And like me and Margaret were looking at each other. And it was like, stop.
It's a problem.
I know.
It's a problem that the New York Stadium is in New Jersey.
But the New York Giants play there. The New York Jets play there.
And like when a big artist comes to town, they play there. And then like their Instagram caption is like, East Rutherford, you were amazing. And it's like,
question mark?
Who?
Question mark.
Who's East Rutherford?
I don't know her. So I appreciated the thought she put into the secret songs, like, stop calling us New Jersey.
But she's in New Jersey.
But people it's like the stadium for New Yorkers too.
I know, but if she got up there and said like, "Hey, New York," people, she would be like trolled for not knowing where she is.
No, and it's factually inaccurate. Like, there's no winning. I just wish she said, "Hey,
I'm sure it's frustrating for her too.
Why is there not like a what's the stadium? There's so many arenas in New York, but is there not a stadium?
No.
I guess that's why the New York Giants and the New York Jets
play. Maybe like where the Buffalo Bills play.
Right. I guess upstate. She would say New York. Then she that would feel wrong too.
Then she could finally say New York.
It was weird. But so there was thought put into the secret songs. Like
she, there always is.
Yeah, but she sometimes it's just like a song that feels good. But she referenced in maybe like 4 out of 6 of the secret songs this weekend, New York.
Then the third night was the much dreaded Welcome to New York.
Everyone was like, I'm not going the first night because she's obviously going to play Welcome to New York and I don't want to hear that. I just have to say, like, while I wouldn't have chosen it, Welcome to New York is a banger. Like,
no, it's not. I feel like people who actually are not Taylor Swift fans like it more than Taylor Swift fans. Yeah, because it's like, I don't know, it's from that movie.
Yeah, the Dakota Johnson, How to Be Single.
Yeah, and it was like part of the New York tourism commercial. So it's just like,
was it?
Yeah, it's for the not fans.
Oh, okay.
But I feel like if, and it's not even close to a song that I even like love. I could tolerate it. I feel like if you're in New York and she's here and she sings it and it's like a one time only thing, like it probably is a nice moment.
But we're in New Jersey. Makes true. You think.
Yeah.
Welcome to New Jersey. I missed it. I'm okay with it. She also then did Sing Clean, which is the first time she's repeated a song now. And of all the songs to repeat, like, that's a really good one. I was having FOMO from that.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
You were having FOMO from one song.
Yeah. Not enough to, like, you know, get tickets and go. But it was a tough loss for the community.
I just think you're not seeing what's directly in front of you.
Which is the amazing songs I got.
Unreal songs.
No, I have literally.
And you had Maroon because she knew that the songwriter that inspired the song was in the stadium. Crowd.
Yeah, because a lot of people do say that my recent banger, 100%, sounds a lot like Maroon. And let's keep in mind, 100% came out a full year before Maroon. And that's the thing about Taylor. She's inspired by others. She said it herself. So I'm honored to be a part of the creative process.
Yeah, they do sound similar. And we're not being crazy. Other people have said it too.
Wait, we have spoken for so long without talking about why today's episode is so special.
Because.
Our interview.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you forgot.
No, I there's so many things that make any given episode special.
So true. Kind of like an Eras tour.
Yeah, I thought, I didn't know if it was this or that or like maybe something I did, I forgot. Like,
no,
you know
no.
What I mean?
So if you're listening as a podcast or watching as a video, it's at the end of today's episode. We have a 30-minute interview with Brooke Eby, who is kind of the trifecta, if you will. She's a toaster. She's an advocate. And she's a TikToker. So last week I got tagged in this video like 1,000 times. I'm like, oh my God, I'm blowing up. What's going on? And not to make everything about me. And everyone was tagging me in this video of this beautiful young girl named Brooke Eby, who makes videos about her terminal ALS diagnosis. And somebody had asked her if she had any sort of bucket list. You
like
know,
a wish list.
Yeah, like things she wanted to do. And she had a bunch of different things. Taylor Swift was on there. And the toast was on
going
there.
Going on the toast.
Going
was
on
one
an
of
episode
them.
Of the toast was like one of her major life goals. So we did it. We made it
like,
happen.
What if we just called Brooke up?
And that's exactly what we did. I slid into her DMs on TikTok. We organized it. She came on the toast last week, right after we wrapped for the week. And it's at the end of today's episode. She's so funny. She talks a lot about her ALS journey and just like, you know, questions people like have for her that you might be wondering, like, how does somebody, you know, go to work, you know, things like that. And then she fulfills her toast fantasies by giving us like a fast five hot take conversation about Kardashians, about Scandoval, about Succession. She was really funny and she was really cute and pretty. And it was just a really fun episode. So
it was. And she was so toasty. It was like, it was so fun to talk to someone who like knows what we're about to say.
Knows the lingo. She was like getting to the lingo before we were.
Yeah.
It was great. So that's at the end of today's episode. And it's really, I think, one of my favorite interviews ever.
Yeah. Also, after the Fast Five shall be Succession recap.
Oh, yeah.
Because Claudia and I both watched the finale, and boy, am I glad I did. It was amazing.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot to discuss.
It was so vindicating.
Fulfilling.
For those of us who fucking hate those kids.
Yeah.
And I couldn't have dreamed up a better ending for the show that hurt more people. It was beautiful.
Yeah, it was. But it was interesting. You know what? I'll get into it because I do also have some mixed thoughts. Yeah.
But remember when the season premiered and we said, who do you think will succeed? Like, who will take over?
Who did we say?
I forget who you said. But it was also not like, who do you think, but who do you want?
Yeah.
And I said Mattson. I think.
And you're not wrong.
And I wasn't wrong.
Yeah. Must be nice.
I wonder who you said.
Probably something so dumb like Marsha or something. Like, one thing about me, like, I do not understand Succession. Like, the business stuff, like, I always have to go on Twitter afterwards and, like, see if I missed anything because so much of it goes over my head. So,
but then you go on Twitter and you see people who are seriously mentally ill.
Yeah.
Like, crying over what they've
They're
seen.
They're like, Kendall just deserves more. Like, it was
Kendall deserves more.
He's literally
Kendall,
a murderer.
Kendall deserves nothing.
He's literally a murderer.
Yep.
Literally one of the worst human beings on the face of the planet.
Terrible businessman, terrible father, right, terrible husband.
That's the thing. At its core.
Terrible son.
At his core, and why Logan, like, never handed over the business. Like, he was the only one who was qualified. But he didn't have it. He was, like, kind of dumb. Like, always making... You knew if Kendall said to do this, the right answer was that.
Yeah.
He was just... He didn't have the brains for it. So, really, none of them were deserving, equipped...
Or qualified.
Or qualified. So... The best man won, in my opinion.
Yeah, the man who's always been there for the company, always been there for Logan.
No, and the man who will admit, like, is really just a pawn. He's, like, Mattson was like, I need you, like, I want to put my finger up your ass and you're going to be my puppet.
Yeah.
And he's not scrupled. He'll say this, say that, just, he's perfect for that world.
Yeah.
So the right man won, in my opinion.
Agreed. Okay, we'll talk about it at the end, even though we just talked about it.
So let's dive in.
Let's dive in. Any other Eras, Turdy's version thoughts? We're going to talk more Eras in the Fast Five.
Right, there's a bunch of story. Well, the first story. So if I forgot anything, I'll get to it.
Great. So now, without further ado, here are the Fast Five stories that you need to know.
And today's episode is brought to you by The Kardashians on Hulu. You can watch the all-new season of The Kardashians. New episodes are dropping Thursdays only on Hulu. So the world's most famous matriarchy is back for the most intimate look yet inside the family empire. We know that there's a lot going down in the Kardashian universe, and we're finally going to get to hear from the ladies themselves. A lot of speculation on, you know, divorce, the whole Kourtney Kim thing. Like, we don't really know what's going on. And the Kardashians are getting into it on their new season, season 3 of The Kardashians on Hulu. So they're talking entrepreneurship, there's sibling rivalry, there's newfound love, there's family growth, there's business, motherhood, and more. We'll see each of the 6 women more up close and personal than ever as they continue to evolve with what it means to be a Kardashian. We know you love them. We love them. The whole gangle, the gangle of girlies is there. There's Kris, Kourtney, Kim, Khloe, Kendall, Kylie. I'm kind of in my Kendall era these days. I've been really
what?
Like, I know, after the first episode from last week, I really, I was feeling Kendall.
Wow, I'm always in my Kylie era, especially as she was learning to drive stick.
I'm always in my Khloe era.
Always, yeah. Always. But I really related to Kylie learning how to drive.
Yeah. So don't miss the season 3 of The Kardashians. New episodes are dropping Thursdays only on Hulu. You can catch up now on all the seasons and the first episode, which premiered last week. The Kardashians season 3, new episodes are dropping Thursdays only on Hulu. You don't want to miss it. Today's episode is also brought to you by Caraway. Get a head start on spring cleaning with Caraway. Their thoughtfully designed sets and complimentary storage makes getting and staying organized easier than ever. You can now save 10% off the full suite of Caraway products, from the internet famous cookware to their newly launched food storage set. Caraway's high quality ceramic coated kitchenware is free of PTFE like Teflon, lead, cadmium, and other toxic materials. Jax, I know you're like a ride or die Caraway girly,
ride
and
die.
You've been kind of away from home.
No, I've been struggling because since I've been here and now I'm going to be here for a few months, like, I was like, you know what, I'm not going to get like Caraway pots and pans. Like, it just seems excessive. But I've caved and I ordered another set because I actually find myself cooking less. Because it's like, oh, I don't want to make eggs. They're going to stick to the pan.
So true.
I need my Caraway cookware. So I have the set. I have the frying pan already and the rest of the things. I think they're being delivered today. I'm so excited. Like, it makes me cook more to use Caraway because it's such a pleasant experience and the cleanup is so easy. Their pot should be called the chili pot.
Yeah.
Because it's amazing for chili.
So true.
But maybe like a summer soup. Maybe a gazpacho I'll make this summer.
A gazpacho?
A gazpacho by Caraway.
The thing I like about Caraway is, like, yeah, there's all these great fancy things. But like, if you live with a Ben Soffer who will leave a pan out for months before he cleans it, it's such a relief to, like, seriously, Ben will leave it out all day and there's like stuck on cheese, and you rinse it and it's so easy to clean. It really makes the cleanup more realistically doable, and it makes you not want to kill your husband, which is always
saving
a good
marriages.
Thing. Visit carawayhome.com/toast10 to take advantage of this limited time offer for 10% off your next purchase. The deal is exclusive for our listeners, so visit carawayhome.com/toast10 or just use code toast10 at checkout. Caraway, non-toxic cookware made modern.
Also, the non-toxicity is key, especially I cook Harry's food in
of
Caraway,
course.
And so it's like he's not going to now go to having toxins.
No.
No.
Not on my watch.
No. Okay, our first story. Taylor Swift took the Eras Tour to MetLife Stadium. There was Ice Spice. There was Jack Antonoff. There was Aaron Rodgers.
Miles Teller. Kelly Teller. Paul Rudd. Sean and Camila Mendes. There were so many. When I was there, I saw Mariska Hargitay.
Wow.
I got a great picture
Peter
of her.
Herman.
I didn't see him. Just Mariska. Mariska Hargitay, Molly Ringwald. I thought they were just being, you know.
Were they all in the tent?
Yes. Well, something interesting that happened was in our section was Kate Upton. We were like, why isn't Kate Upton in the tent? And then Mariska was like staring at our section. Our section was right behind the celebrity tent, so we saw everything. And she's talking to a security guard. She's on the phone and she's looking up. And then Kate Upton disappears and never comes back. So I want to believe that Mariska was coordinating Kate's arrival to the tent, because Mariska is like an OG Taylor fan. I feel like she has pull in the tent.
Yeah, but what's the relationship between Kate and Mariska?
I don't know. I just feel like celebrities know each other. And, you know, now Kate Upton is like a New York elite because her husband plays for the Mets, and Mariska is literally the New York
I'm
elite.
Obsessed.
Yeah, I think that's how it went
Kate
down.
Upton?
Gorgeous. Like, just
I
so.
I love her.
I know.
Was she with her daughter?
No.
No. She went to Eras without her daughter?
Eras.
She went just by herself?
I don't remember. I wasn't looking at the people around her. I was literally just looking at her.
Fair.
So Molly Ringwald, the night that we went, Hoda, Molly Ringwald, Lin-Manuel Miranda, Mariska, Kate Upton. There were a lot of
the
people.
The night that you went.
Yeah.
Nikki Hilton was there with her daughters, but they weren't in the
they
tent.
They weren't in the tent. I think they were in a suite.
Yeah.
And then the
just
next,
living life.
Yeah. The next night, Paul Rudd, Aaron Rodgers, Miles Teller, that whole crew, Camila and Sean. Oh, Maren Morris went, a lot of other people. It was like really star-studded. I feel like they had to make the tent bigger.
Yeah.
Like, usually it's like two or three, but there were like tons of A-listers. I mean, I don't know how big they're going to have to make the tent in
LA. Well, in there's LA. Five shows.
There's five shows. And the tent was interesting because her family has their own tent. They're not in the celebrity tent. I don't know if that's always been that way, but now there's two tents.
Wow.
Like family and then friends and celebrities.
And Julia Gardner was there
yes.
third night.
Yes, yes, yes.
Anna Delvey.
Anna Delvey was there. So good to see her out doing well.
Yeah.
It was popping. Like, honestly, the hottest ticket in town.
Yeah, it really was. And it's just crazy. All those people like forsook Memorial Day plans.
Right.
To be with Taylor.
Right. Unless they like, you know, just flew in from the Hamptons. I actually did see, which was cool, when we were pulling up, there's like a helicopter landing and there was one landing like on the pad. So we were like trying to see who it was, but they literally just were ushered literally from the helicopter to an SUV into a tunnel, like into the stadium. So I was thinking maybe it was Taylor. Like, it was elite treatment.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So Ice Spice performed the three nights, Karma, yeah. Because also all the songs dropped. So
right, Hits Different, the new Vault track, You're Losing Me. What? And then the Ice Spice, Karma, and the Lana Del Rey.
Yeah, which has more Lana.
Yeah.
It's hard for me when I'm listening to like realize that there's a difference. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I like the old version. I'm fine with mm-hmm. it. What's with the new tracks? Like, what's the hidden meanings? What are we learning?
I haven't listened to You're Losing Me yet. I just honestly didn't find the time this weekend. And I've been so, I listened on repeat literally this morning. Hits Different is probably one of my favorite Taylor songs ever. Like, it is so good.
Oh, wow. I did a story this morning, like asking people, what do you want in the Fast Five? And like a couple people wrote like, You're Losing Me. And I was like, that's fucking rude. Like, what did I do? Like,
that no. No, you guys hurt Jax this morning.
No, but then I realized.
The song.
Because someone said, You're Losing Me, Taylor's. And so I was like, okay. So that's all there is
that's
to
That's funny.
That's all there is to say about that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, there people are like dissecting the bridge. And who would want to? I wouldn't want to marry me either. A pathological people pleaser. Now everyone's looking at Midnight's like as a breakup album. When at first it didn't occur to anyone.
Because she was with Joe.
But it's most likely that she was writing these songs during, you know, the end of their relationship and when things started to go awry. And now you're looking at it with a new lens.
I don't know. I don't think, maybe it's like one or two of them, but I don't think you can like say that about the whole album. Because one, didn't she say early on, like, these are the songs about things
throughout
that
my
keep
life.
You up at midnight?
Yeah, these are different nights throughout my life.
Of things that like keep you up. So I think it's like
that's a good point.
More history there. And two, like, she just writes about random shit at this point. Like, The Great War is apparently about Lady Mary and Cousin Matthew.
No fucking way. I didn't hear that.
How would I have heard that and not you?
It totally is. I'm obsessed. Obsessed. Yeah, she now, and she has said, like, ever since Folklore and Evermore, like, we really don't need to, like, dissect the lyrics as much as we do, because she'll write it up based off of a movie she watched or a book that she read or something her friend is going through. Like, a lot of the songs on, not a lot, but, like, two on Folklore and Evermore are about Abigail's divorce. So it's not about Taylor per se, so we don't really need to look at it through that lens anymore.
You know what I was thinking about this weekend, which was funny? It's like how we speculate, like, which song is about, like, Taylor losing her virginity, yeah, and when, and it's like, but we all know when Abigail did.
We all know when Abigail did. Because back then she swore she was going to marry him someday, you know?
Yeah.
And Abigail was so brave for that. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I'm sure she didn't think, like, her friend who was, like, playing her guitar at the time was going to literally become the biggest star in the world, and, like, One of her biggest songs was going to be the song about her, Abigail losing her virginity. I'm sure she just
thought, to a boy who changed his mind and we both cried.
Right. Like, I'm sure she just thought she would, like, put it on YouTube and that would be the end of it.
Right. No, she's going to perform at Night 2 in Nashville Eras Tour to, right, like, 70,000 people.
Yeah. But I think it's okay. Abigail has healed, you know?
Wasn't there a rumor at one point that there was a rift between them?
I didn't hear that.
Oh, okay.
Abigail's, like, the
maybe
one
it was
constant.
About Abigail's divorce then.
Yeah, so Abigail has, like, a kind of, like, a crazy, like, thing going on. I think, like, there was infidelity and now she's, like, with the guy. I don't know.
What song is reportedly about Abigail's divorce?
Tolerate It.
Okay.
And Happiness.
Got it.
Two of the worst songs, in my opinion.
Also, I think it's, like, nice that Taylor could, like, write a really beautiful, intimate, like, song. No, and then if she doesn't want to, like, expose herself as, like, this is about me, there's this mystery of, like, it could be about anything.
No, but there's also, like, I think a part of Taylor probably worries, like, you know, if everything settles down in her life, like, what will she write about? And, like, the fact that I would say her best work, Folklore and Evermore, actually, like, really not about her. Mm-hmm. Is great. Like, she doesn't have to keep living and, like, breaking up and making up. Like, she can settle.
She's constantly inspired.
Right. And it's cool to be inspired by books and
TV shows.
She's
inspired by those writers' lakes.
The lakes. She was definitely inspired by Evelyn Hugo when she wrote Champagne Problems. You truly cannot convince me otherwise.
Yeah.
You love to see it.
Yeah.
And Evelyn Hugo was definitely inspired by her. Taylor Jenkins Reid has said, it's like, it's not, like, you know?
Well, I think that book and other books like it are like a composite
accumulations
character of, yeah, a lot of different characters.
Yeah.
Composite characters of different characters.
Composite characters of composited characters who are composites of other people.
And they're composited together in
and
a way
really,
that
it's really like a composition. Composition, don't you think?
A composition of one character.
Right. Who's an accumulation of multiple characters?
In that composite.
Exactly.
Well, congrats on a great weekend, Taylor.
I'm going to get dressed in Stay Alert this week.
You are?
Yeah.
Where is she going next?
Chicago. She's definitely going to be in New York until she has to go to Chicago.
Okay. And, we didn't talk about Aaron Rodgers, who's a big Swiftie.
We had been knowing this because we were literally obsessed with that video Kelly Taylor posted of her, Aaron Rodgers, Shailene Woodley, and Miles all vibing out to the one in Hawaii. Like, literally, Taylor said it best. Like, everybody, time flies, but I'm right where you left me. I'm right where you left me at that video. Like, I have not moved on from that video.
No, and Aaron Rodgers is a Folklore girly.
Yes, he's definitely.
He's in his Folklore era.
Yeah, and so a lot of people were filming him during the show when the Evermore era was.
Because he was living his best life.
He was having fun. I think he has, like, a kind of, like, a reputation for being, like, a little bit of, like, a, like, a sourpuss, you know?
Okay.
So it was nice to see him, like, living his best life. And you know what? Like, this is kind of, in my opinion, going to be the renaissance of Aaron Rodgers, like, in terms of celebrity, because he's now, like, you know, the number one guy in New York.
Yeah.
He's going to bring this defunct franchise, hopefully, into a new era. And I think a lot of people are putting, like, a lot of pressure on him. And I think he's going to show up for us.
You think he's going to rise to the occasion?
I do.
I won't lie. I did miss Shailene in those videos.
I know.
Her absence was felt by me.
I would have loved to see her, like, running around barefoot in the tent.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was tough.
Yeah. But
I'm glad that the crew is still crewing.
Yeah.
The Tellers and the Rodgers.
Yeah. Okay, ready for our next story, which
no.
is...
No. If I could
Taylor
truly
anyway.
Come back to life as one person, like, it might be Kelly Teller.
Yeah.
For so many reasons. But her association to Taylor is definitely up there.
Oh, yeah. But that's not even, like, top three.
No, she's literally gorgeous. She's married to Miles Teller. She has, like, such a cool family. Like, they're all, like, always hanging out and, like, being best friends, and they're all sisters, and the husbands are...
What's that like?
Yeah, no, it's, like, it's giving us, but, like, better and, like, non-Jewish, you know? Like,
yeah.
They're literally, like, giving non-Jewish Ashrei energy, and they have, like, kids, and they're, like, always going on vacation. Like, it's just really, it looks nice.
Yeah.
What's the Taylor adjacent story?
Matty Healy.
Oh, what now?
He gave an interview to the New Yorker, he's dismissing deluded podcast controversy.
Sure.
Amid the Taylor romance rumors. So 3 months after Matty Healy recorded a controversial Adam Friedland Show podcast episodes, he wants haters to shake it off. In the 1975 frontman told The New Yorker in an interview published Monday that his February comments don't actually matter and were a little bit bait for naysayers. He said, quote, "Nobody is sitting there at night slumped at their computer and their boyfriend comes over and goes, 'What's wrong, darling?' And they go, 'It's just this thing with Matty Healy.'" He said, "That doesn't happen." And then when he subsequently acknowledged that maybe it does happen, he called those affected people deluded individuals. He said, "You're either lying that you are hurt or you're a bit mental for being hurt. It's just people going, 'Oh, there's a bad thing over there. Let me get as close to it as possible so you can see how good I am.' And I kind of want them to do that because they're demonstrating something so base level."
Well, it's a very brave hot take on like internet culture and kind of stan culture too. Because like when someone you like or idolize, you know, maybe makes a decision or does something that you don't wholeheartedly agree with, people love to be like, "This really hurts." And I think we need to be really careful about language because you're not hurt. You're living your life and really this has not affected you whatsoever. So I think what he's saying, and I actually really agree with, is like, the way stan culture like manipulates language and also like blows things out of proportion all the time, it really needs to be spoken about, like more so than anything.
Yeah, I think it's a really fresh take. Yeah, it's a hot take. I appreciate it, and I don't think he's wrong. Like, it really doesn't affect people's day to day. And if it does, like, and maybe it does, that's a you problem.
No, and that's really like a psychological issue that person needs to work on, because if you're letting the words, and by the way, what's so interesting, and I've really,
and in this case, it's not even the words of like your favorite 1975 frontman, it's the words of your favorite girl's boyfriend.
Right. It's really like so disconnected and it's so far removed, but the way people really like enwrap themselves in celebrities is really toxic. And this is like the perfect example of that. Like, you should not be personally offended by what someone who you've never met has done or said, you know? Yeah. It's not healthy.
No, but it's also just like offense culture.
Yeah, well, of course. And that's what he's saying. It's like, it's not about people actually being offended. It's like them having something to say against you.
And
now,
just like being so excited to have like the moral high ground. I also think sometimes when things like this happen, it's not that always just the stans who are like grabbing their pitchforks. No. It's just anybody who wants to feel like morally superior being like, "You did a bad thing."
Right, right. And I don't know, just like for me, even if it, like the person who I love most in this world, like in terms of celebrity and idol, is really Taylor. And if she did something that like, or said something that like I really disagreed with, like, sure. Would I care? Yes. Would I literally move on with my life and like, would my life be affected? No.
Has she never said anything that you disagree with up until this point?
Of course she has, but they don't, like, they don't even come
to mind.
It
doesn't even register.
Yeah.
Because you just move on.
Right. And like, you could still love somebody. Like, this whole concept that like you can only be a fan of somebody who agrees with every single principle. It literally reminds me when Jay Shetty was on the podcast, he was like talking about how it's important to date someone with similar values to you. But at the end of the day, like, your values are like DNA. Like, they're, even someone, even you and I
have we're
gonna
disagree.
Same values, but we're so different because it's so specific to literally who you are and every human experience you've ever had.
Yep.
And so to expect that of someone and to project that on someone is so toxic. And like, no, and you're,
it's
never
impossible. It's impossible. I was having this conversation with someone. And I feel like sometimes you talk about someone and it's like, well, I don't agree with everything that they think
who
or
does?
Say. It's like, I couldn't name one person on this earth who I agree with about every single thing.
Literally you and I.
Not even not you. Even you. Though we agree about 99.999% of things.
No, and that's okay. And it's like, what happened to celebrate? What happened to hello?
So it's just, how weird, are this, you? Like, this qualifier you have to put in front of everything.
Yeah, no, it's like, well, duh.
Duh.
We're all different people. We've all experienced different things.
Right.
So people, and then the people who he's talking to in this article, then I saw on TikTok, they were like, I'm so upset. Like, really, people need to touch grass. They have absolutely got to get off the internet. Like, some people just can't handle the internet. And I think that's okay, but they need to acknowledge that.
But they're
that.
The most internet of all. I know. They're
and
the
they
most,
have, like, power.
They're the most, they're spending the most time online.
Right. It's like their insane content and backlash requires Matty Healy to do stuff like this article.
Yeah. Yeah. But I also think he likes, like, ruffling everyone's feathers.
He
and, like,
does.
And letting them know that he still doesn't care and they're not getting their apology.
Yeah, no. He does this thing now at the beginning, not at the beginning, in the middle of his shows, where he talks in between songs. But he's like about to say something crazy and the music cuts him off. Like the band comes in. So he's like, is it anti-Semitic to say? And then the band comes in and it's like, it's funny. Like it really is like a joke. And I think people
that's
really.
That's so funny. I saw one of those.
And they do it at like every show.
And like taken out of context. I thought it was just one. It's like even his band doesn't want him to speak because they know what he says is going to be so terrible.
Right. But he's clearly commentating on the state of culture. But some people are too dense and too in it to even see that like they're actually being mocked.
Yeah.
But they don't see it. They're like, look, he can't hold himself back. People are so not fucking okay. Like, honestly, this is funny to me. It is.
It is funny to me. And I'm shipping for Taylor.
No, me too. Obsessed. Even though he wasn't at any of the concerts this weekend. But I think he had work to do. Like, you know, he's
been really a celebrity.
Yeah.
Too. Are you ready for our next story? Some more concert news, but not Taylor.
Yes.
Proud mom Beyonce praises her daughter's Paris performance. Beyonce paid tribute to daughter Blue Ivy following the 11-year-old's surprise cameo during her mom's Renaissance tour on Friday. She said, my beautiful firstborn, I'm so proud and thankful to be your mama. You bring us so much joy, my sweet angel.
That's so cute.
Blue Ivy came out during Beyonce's performance of her song My Power, and she sang along with the... She danced along with the dancers.
I was like, oh, I didn't see her sing.
No, sorry.
No, she's a very good dancer.
Yeah.
Like, she was keeping up with the professional choreography.
Yeah.
And I think she came out again the next night.
Yeah. I saw two different videos of her dancing.
This is the kind of nepotism I absolutely love to see.
Totally.
Like, obsessed.
And it's just, like, fun for the fans.
Yeah.
And she, like, if you're, you know, zoomed out on the show, like, it's just another dancer.
Right,
like
she's keeping up. She's not a detriment.
Right. I think it's awesome. Yeah. And it's such a cool opportunity, especially if she loves to dance. Like, why not dance on the biggest stage in the world?
Right.
What if I just
went called up mom?
And went on the Renaissance tour.
So cool. She looked great. She kept up. She's a very, very skilled dancer. Mm-hmm. And Beyonce's dancers, I mean, all dancers on, like, big tours do the most, but like Beyonce's dancers really take it to like another level. So her being able to keep up, like I see a future for Blue.
Yeah. Kylie was at Beyonce's show in Paris.
Yes.
Kylie was
stunting on them hoes in those Chanel loops.
She was stunting on those Parisian hoes.
She was stunting on that cobblestone.
She was having a great weekend in Paris.
I loved the Chanel looks.
Were they all Chanel?
I think so.
I thought she's like the new face of D&G also.
Oh, how does Courtney feel about
that? I know, because, like, I saw on her stories, like, there was pictures of her, like, in the display.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I thought they were all Chanel, but I might just be. I thought they were
Dolce. I didn't hear Chanel. She was just giving a very classy energy.
Yeah, maybe I assume. No, I'm not making that up. Like, okay. I heard it somewhere.
I'm going to Google.
What'd you Google?
Kylie Jenner, Dolce & Gabbana.
Okay, now Google Kylie Jenner, Chanel.
Okay. I would love that for her.
I mean, they looked so like crisp white Chanel.
2 days ago, she stopped by the Chanel store.
Oh, okay.
In a white mini skirt and matching blazer. But who made that outfit?
That white outfit was like the one.
Yeah.
She looked so adorable.
But she's also like, she's been doing a lot of couture stuff and she's the new
Schiaparelli,
face of
Schiaparelli, she did.
John Paul.
JPG.
JPG.
Not the Nazi. It's very confusing. Jean-Paul Gaultier.
Yeah.
Very different than Jean Galliano, who's very different from Jean Valjean.
She is wearing a look by Maximilian Davis.
Oh, okay.
Oh, you could buy it now.
How much is it?
$435 for the skirt on Matches Fashion.
Okay, that's like less than I expected, no?
Yeah. I thought this, was like, you know, bespoke.
It's so cute.
I'll accept these cookies. Oh, and the top is on sale for $725.
Wow, Kylie wearing a $1,000 look. Thrifty queen.
Like, I love Arganista. This
She's a maxinista.
Yeah, she's balling on a budget.
Balling on a budget. Tough times over at Kylie Cosmetics.
It's such a cute outfit. I can't believe it's so accessible. Like, if it only would fit me right now, I would snatch it up.
Her stories at the concert, like, looked so fun. I love when Kylie just, like, Kylie doesn't go out much.
Has a night out with her friends.
But when she does,
she goes big.
She's doing the most. She's flying to Paris. She's in the box. She's taking everyone with her.
They're like, drinking.
Yeah,
they're making TikToks.
She goes
they're
all
going
out.
Full glam.
It's like a quarterly affair.
No, I feel like it depends on the season of her life, you know?
Yeah, of course.
Because there was a time when it was like a weekly affair and she really loves more than any of the other girls like partying.
Yeah, she's the youngest. Like, I literally forget she's the youngest because she's so mature and like her business and her family, like she's got it all secured. But she's literally like 24.
No, she's like 20. I think she's turning 27.
Really?
Yeah. Is she older or younger than the Snatchler?
That's a good question.
age. Her birthday's in August. Oh, she's 25 right now and she's turning 26. So that's she's Margot's
age. That's literally so young.
Yeah, she's Margot.
Yeah. Just like a little cooler. Just a little. No, I really mean it. Just a little. Margot's really cool.
Margot's really cool. And you got to spend a lot of time with her this weekend.
I know. Like, I don't know if Era's tour on Friday night was so amazing because the show was so amazing or because I got like the most quality, undivided core memory attention from the Snatcher. Like, that was the best part of the night.
What did you guys talk about, like, in the car on the way there?
That's a good question. We actually talked about, like, the whole car ride.
That's so Snatcher.
We were, like, planning logistics, charging our phones.
She's not super chatty in general, but, like, if you get her in a car, she'll start talking.
No, she won't
stop. We should hang out with her in cars more often.
We should get... I've actually been thinking, like, I think it's time for, like, the first time in my life, like, I need to get a car.
And that would
and be maybe I'll just drive around town and scoop up the Snatcher. I'll be her chauffeur.
That would be good for your relationship with her.
She'll sit in the back, and I'll sit in the front.
And she'll just start talking.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what'd you guys talk about?
Just, like, everything.
Do you think, like, more, like... Era stuff or like life stuff?
Like both.
Interesting.
I was trying to remember if you came up, but like I don't think you did. Sorry.
It's okay.
It's better than you coming up and her having something bad to say.
So true.
So just count your blessings.
So true.
Count your blessings.
Are you ready for our next story?
If it's the next story, that's brought to you by Boll & Branch.
Tis.
Wake up feeling rested and refreshed with the softest, most luxurious sheets from Boll & Branch. Boll & Branch is the bedding expert. They make the highest quality sheets with incredible craftsmanship. Each sheet set is slow made for an unmatched softness with 100% traceable organic cotton that gets softer with every wash. So Jax and I have been Boll & Branch girlies for a while. Like, we hate to say I told you so, but every time we convert one of you, you're like, oh my God, I can't believe I did it. Like, we told you. We sat here for years telling you.
Yeah.
I don't know how many words I can say it. Like, you want to trust me on one thing? All right, maybe you don't trust me on like which, you know, produce is the best. But you can trust me on which sheets are the best because I'm a sleep expert and Boll & Branch are the sleep experts. We both have the Signature Hemmed Sheets collection from Boll & Branch. It's their bestseller for a reason. They are superior in softness and they give you a better night's sleep. They feel buttery to the touch. They are super breathable and they're perfect for both cooler and warmer weather. They're loved by millions of sleepers. They have been beloved by they've been beloved by four U.S. presidents, and they have over 10,000 rave reviews. They come in 10 versatile colors and all sizes, so whether you have a twin bed, they go all the way up to California King. They're incredible for all sleepers, and they're made without toxins, synthetic pesticides, formaldehyde, other harsh chemicals. Get better sleep at night with Boll & Branch sheets. Get 15% off your first order when you use promo code TOAST at BollAndBranch.com. That's Boll & Branch, BOLLAND. branch.com, promo code TOAST, exclusions apply, see site for details. We love their sheets, but we also love a lot of their accessories, like our throw blankets are from there.
The waffle blanket.
We have a lot of their stuff. Today's episode is also brought to you by Quince. Shopping for clothes is a compromise. It often feels like we have to choose between saving up for an expensive luxury piece or settling for a cheap, fast fashion item that will not last. That was until we elevated our closet with Quince. With Quince, we get high quality, timeless pieces without paying a luxury price tag. They offer a range of must-haves like 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters for only $50. The sweater that I wore on the toast when I did Paige DeSorbo episode, everyone was like, oh my God, you look amazing. And Paige actually said I looked like a rich older woman, like coastal grandmother. That was Quince. So that was the Mongolian cashmere sweater. For only $50, they have 100% European linen pants for only $40, which is like what everyone's wearing right now. They have luxurious mulberry silk skirts at $60 and $50 Italian leather bags. So all their pieces are 50 to 80% less than similar luxury brands. And that's because Quince creates timeless classic styles that won't go out of fashion. So you'll have them in your closet forever. So again, I got that cashmere sweater. I also got a really cute like cropped cardigan. Everything I got from Quince is really good. A cardigan. And they're like, you wouldn't remember it because they're just staple pieces. And you can wear them like multiple times a week if you style them differently. I love to repeat outfits. Quince, basically how they keep their prices down is they partner directly with top factories to cut the cost of the middleman and pass the savings on to you. They only work with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium eco-friendly fabrics. So we can feel good about getting high-quality items that last longer. Shop with Quince today and discover the affordable luxury that you deserve. Right now, go to quince.com/toast to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's unheard of. 365. You hear that, Jax? 365 day returns.
365.
That's Quince, which is spelled Q-U-I.
What if it's a leap year?
I'll have to ask. I'll get back to you next time. Quince.com/toast for free shipping, 365 day returns. That's Quince, Quince.com/toast.
Thank you, Claudia.
You're welcome.
Our next story, Tom Sandoval was seen talking on the phone with Raquel after breakup news.
Yeah, this picture went viral of him on a plane.
On the phone, contact Raquel Levis.
Right, he was like on a phone call and his phone was like kind of turned outward, like towards the person taking the photo.
You think it was intentional?
Well, then I fell down a rabbit hole on TikTok of people being like, you know, he's doing, you know, PR. There's like a lot of speculation. In the last couple of days, like he had broken up with Raquel. He was dating this influencer. Then that influencer deactivated all of her socials. Actually, Kristen Doty is on the Good Guys podcast this week. I was watching it this morning. I have like 10 minutes left. And she was talking about how like he was speculated to have been dating this girl. And then like the girl is an influencer and she literally deactivated all of her social media. Maybe because she didn't want to be associated with Tom. And like an influencer would never, because if an influencer was actually dating him, they would be like eating all this up.
Right.
Just quick shout out to the Good Guys. So I don't know what he would be getting out of this if it is like a PR stunt. It just like looked, it looked a little staged, but it also looked very, you know, boots on the ground, Tom in the wild.
I don't think it's staged, but I also like really try to give people the benefit of the doubt, but I really could imagine like he's hiding his face and I feel like he thinks that like that's all he's concerned about and doesn't
not
realize
the phone.
That, yeah, because we've never really caught someone like this. It's not like a known thing.
It's very intimate. Like,
you know what I mean? Like, I feel like there's a way where he didn't even realize that he was showing people that. Because he was more so worried about, like, himself, which is so Tom Sandoval.
Yeah. I wonder where he was going. He was on a plane.
I also don't think that they broke up. Like, there's been so many rumors coming out. Like, I don't believe any of them.
Yeah.
I think that they are together and in love. I don't think she's pregnant, but I would sooner believe that she's pregnant than that they broke up. He was dating someone else. They're talking on the phone. Yeah. Like this whole mess.
Yeah, yeah. I don't think he's dating someone else. I do. I mean, I honestly hope they're still together, like for both of their sakes, mostly hers. But I do think she's still in a facility. She hasn't been seen or heard from. So maybe
she has her cell phone.
Right. Maybe it was like their weekly call time. I don't think she has like, you know, unlimited access to her phone in a place like that.
No, she doesn't, because she's writing letters.
Right. The Morgan letters.
But I guess the letter said, didn't say, Dear Tom.
Maybe not.
Well, maybe it started out Dear Tom, but it wasn't a breakup letter.
Yeah.
It's like, Dear Tom, the food is great and I'm making a lot of friends.
Yeah. Dear Tom, send socks. I'm all out. Like Dear, camp.
Yeah.
I used to like hate writing letters at camp.
But you know what? When they used to have those books of letters that were like kind of like Mad Libs where it was,
yeah,
like,
I would fill it in for
my
you.
My friends are blank.
I'm having a blank time at camp. And you would, yeah, be like, awesome.
Yeah.
It would make letter writing
or
so easy.
Terrible.
Right. But now, when I look back on like letter writing at camp, it's like, so I look back on it so fondly. Like, I wish I did it more.
It's such a beautiful concept.
And like, you know, at our camp, some, like maybe once a week, you would have to write a letter. You'd have to show up to dinner with a letter, just so like they made sure everyone was writing their parents. It was nice. Now I guess they have like cell phone time at camp, which, yeah, is so crazy to me. And like, honestly, not to sound like a grandma, I think camp was so amazing because we were so disconnected, like friends from home. Like it didn't matter. There was no need to like, I wasn't writing my friends letters at other camps. I was just writing my
maybe
parents.
Maybe like once throughout the summer I would exchange with like a inter-camp letter.
But like camp was its own universe. And like,
yeah,
you didn't need,
and everyone was in their own camp universe,
bubble,
you know?
Yeah.
It didn't feel like you were missing stuff at home.
But like our parents like paid to like for us to have this amazing time. Like the least we could do was write them a fucking letter.
Yeah.
But I found it like so dreadful. I'm like, oh, a letter? I was like, I'm having a great time.
It's
like, please,
so you
don't pick me up. Like, I never want to see you guys again. Like, I loved camp so much. Like, literally, I didn't want to be connected to the outside world.
Right. But I feel like when you know your kids, which, you know, most parents do, it's like not getting a letter from Claudia.
It's a good sign.
Is a good sign. Not getting a letter from most kids is probably a good sign.
Yeah.
Because, you know, no news is good news. They're,
right,
having,
they're having
too much
fun.
They're playing jacks at night. They're not writing letters in their bed alone with their flashlight.
Like, that's something I'm really excited about, to have kids. Like, but I don't know how I'm going to fare. I'm going to be so jealous of my kids when they go to camp. But I guess that's like when I'll travel and like get my life back.
Yeah.
But knowing that my kids are like making memories, like playing jacks, like getting tan, living like so carefree, maybe having their first boyfriend. Like I'll be so jealous. I'm literally going to show up at camp every day. Be like, hey, girlies, what's up? I'm literally going to be like the mom that works at camp. Like I'm going to be the arts.
411.
I'm going to be the arts and crafts teacher.
Yeah.
Because I love camp so much.
No, you'll have to create a life for yourself that's
outside,
more exciting. Like maybe you get a lake house and then you're with like fellow like lake couples and you're having your own like adult swingers camp.
If I get a lake house, I will be jealous. All right. Yeah. Put that on my list of like, I need like never mind. I have like a 10-year plan. Lake house is one of them.
Lake house greater than beach house?
Like I kind of am into the lakey vibes. Maybe it's because last night I literally finished Meet Me at the Lake, the Carly Fortune book, and she really knows how to romanticize a lake. Her books always take place in Toronto, like Lake Muskoka. And I gotta go.
I started the new book by Mae Cobb, who wrote The Hunting Wives.
That's what I'm going to read next.
I think you'll like it because it's pretty spicy. I don't remember Hunting Wives being spicy.
There was a lot of like lesbian, like all these like straight, married, like uptight rich women like fucking each other on the weekends.
Really?
Yeah, there was like a lesbian undercurrent. It was very sexy.
I don't remember that because I was like, damn, Mae Cobb. And now I'm like, I put this book on my story. People think I'm reading porn.
Oh, is it like full? Oh, now you're making me want to read it even more.
No, it was just like, but so far, like the plot is finished, but I have no idea what's coming.
Okay. Like, maybe I'm gonna wait for you to finish it. Like, maybe it's good for my book club.
Oh, I'll let you know. But like, is spice good for the book club?
The book club loves spice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we all swap.
It's like, there's something about it. I feel like, you know when you're reading something and it's like, this is so stupid. And then, but by the end, it makes sense like why all those stupid things happened. Of course. Like, 'cause someone was intentionally being stupid.
Right.
So I don't want to judge it until I'm done with it. Because right now it's like, I could poke a few holes.
Okay.
I could poke a few. I also read The Housemaid this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
I read all weekend. I didn't watch TV except for Succession. I read The Housemaid and the sequel. So good.
Yeah, I read it like really quick on a weekend, both of them.
Both of them I read in one day.
Good books.
The second one I like started at noon and I finished at 10 p.m.
She writes like a lot of good thrillers. Like I think she's an author now. If you pick up her book, like you know it's good. Like a Sally Hepworth. You know you're always going to get
She's a good writer. Yeah. There were a lot of twists that I didn't see coming.
Yeah, Freda McFadden.
I would recommend.
Okay, good.
Are you ready for our fifth and final story?
I am.
New couple alert. Hailee Steinfeld has been dating Josh Allen for a few weeks, says a source. They're having fun.
Yeah, this was interesting. Josh Allen's like a star.
Yeah, Hailee Steinfeld and Josh Allen have been hanging out for a few weeks. A source close to the couple told People magazine. The cute couple have been photographed together multiple times over the last few days in New York City. Why wasn't she at Eras?
She's in the Bad Blood music video.
She's a former squad girl.
Yeah. Did they end on bad terms? She was like in the squad and then never to be seen again.
Yeah, but she was really in the squad. She's kind of like one of the faces core of the members. Squad. There were some randos.
Yeah, of course.
Who only got like the invite once.
Yeah.
But she's a core squad.
Yeah.
Anyways, the insider said it's new, but they're having fun.
Was he married?
I don't think so. I feel like they're always doing packages about him on ESPN. Like
he's a star.
And I'm always happening to watch them. No, he's 27.
Oh, he's young.
I'm not seeing a marriage here.
Hailee Steinfeld like has an amazing dating track record. Like Niall Horan.
Okay.
Josh Allen, and that's all I can think of.
But and I also like don't fully believe Niall Horan. Like I feel like that was more like PR convenient a little bit.
Oh, interesting.
I could see that having been.
Hailee Steinfeld like is such a good level of celebrity. Mm-hmm. I feel like she makes a lot of money. Like she's very A-list. But she's not, like, she probably has a normal life. Like, she can go to the grocery store. But she can date whoever she wants, you know?
Yeah. No, I really, I love like this her. For her, if true. I'm wondering why they weren't at Eras. Maybe they'll be at the one at the Buffalo Bills
there
Stadium.
There isn't one. Maybe Pittsburgh. I don't know if Pittsburgh is close to Buffalo, but I feel like it is.
I don't think it is.
I think it is.
Philly's south of here, and Buffalo is north of here.
Such a good point, yeah.
Well, actually, Pennsylvania is west of here.
Oh.
But still, Buffalo's north.
I'm gonna put this rumor to rest and figure it out right now. Ready?
I guess we'll just look at a map.
Pittsburgh to Buffalo.
I'm just pulling up Google Maps.
Like one thing about me, I don't know geography and I never will.
It just really depends for me. Oh, Pittsburgh is so west. Where's Buffalo?
Okay, they're like not far from each other, but they're not.
I'm just like not seeing Buffalo.
By the way, they're actually like, by the way, what's so crazy is like Pennsylvania and Buffalo and Pittsburgh and Buffalo are so far from here. Like you think it's all like northeast. It's so far.
No, Pittsburgh is like on the western border of Pennsylvania.
And Buffalo is literally in Canada.
Yeah.
When I did a show in like Buffalo, Rochester area, people were like driving from Toronto. It was
crazy.
Oh,
actually, I'm sorry. Buffalo would be closer to Pittsburgh. It's kind of a triangle. But the Buffalo side is closer to Pittsburgh. Much.
Everything
it's not due north. It's northwest of New
York. Due north. Everything I know about geography, which is extremely limited, I only know because of Tor. Like, I know nothing about geography from school. That was, like, not even a class I took.
Mm. It depends on the location. You know, I like to pride myself on being an arbiter of New York geography because I went to school upstate, but I don't know where the fuck Buffalo is.
No, but there are parts of New York and parts of Pennsylvania that are so far away, it's crazy.
Yeah. That I knew. Yeah, like Syracuse, Utica. Yeah, I know these.
That's upstate, like classic.
Classic.
Where all the colleges are.
Yeah, but Ithaca. Also classic is like Hudson Valley upstate.
Yeah.
That's like fupstate because yeah, it's really it's like an close. Hour.
Yeah. Yeah. What was the story? Oh yeah, Josh Allen and Haley Steinfeld. Here for it. Josh Allen, like I know nothing about football. I think he plays for Buffalo, but like I really know nothing beyond that.
He's a pride and joy of Buffalo and they're really passionate fans.
But what I know about him is he had old tweets and he went from like the number one draft pick to like number 90 and had like all this promise. And I relate to him because like, you know, things from our past should not come back to haunt you. And I really felt bad for him in that moment. And he got it together. Now he has like a great contract, but like he was like number one kid, you know, from that year. And he had like some song lyrics, you know, with inappropriate words and his life was over. And I just
feel like you've told that story before, but I genuinely forgot. And that's so crazy.
It's all I think about, but because he's obviously all accomplished a lot since then.
I feel like every time I walk past the TV when Zach's watching sports, it's a package about Josh Allen and how he gives back to his community.
Does he?
Yeah. Like he's really the beacon of, they love him. Love his that. Community loves him.
But you know who else Buffalo loved? Who was a beacon of their community? OJ. So maybe they don't have a great barometer.
Radar.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, way to ruin a beautiful story.
Those are just like, there are a few things I know about football. And one of them is that like OJ was like the king of Buffalo.
Is that really his like, he played for a few teams. But like yeah, Buffalo but,
like,
was like
that's where his greatest moments
happened.
That's
like LeBron and the Cavaliers.
Exactly. Or no, like LeBron and the Heat.
No, the Heat was just like a transient experience so he could get
a
ring.
But he was taking his talents to South Beach.
Yeah, so he could get a ring, but he's Cleveland. Like, he's
yeah,
Cavaliers.
Yeah, you're right.
He's Cavaliers.
King Charles. Should we dive into this section recap before our interview?
We shall.
So last night's, well, two nights ago's episode, the series finale of Succession, let me tell you how I will not miss the show. But like, of course, and I've been very hard on it the entire year, of course the final episode like was good, as it should be.
Well, no, it ended really good. And like now I could say the episode was good, but there were times while I was watching it where I was like, how much longer is this episode?
Oh,
like,
I didn't feel that way. I thought it was a very good episode of TV.
I need to get to the board meeting. But the fact that like the board meeting didn't go, that the kids like didn't stick together.
Right. It was like this climax. Like, you know, the kids are fighting, but then they go to the Caribbean and they work on it together and they all finally agree. Like it really can only be Kendall. And then they're having fun in the kitchen and they're walking in there together and they're strong and they're a team. Peak. And then like Roman starts to break a little bit and Shiv obviously breaks during the meeting. And it really was like a roller coaster and I enjoyed
it. It made it even better, like having to suffer through them pretending to be like good siblings to each other and like having like a fun kitchen moment.
Yeah.
And like just like thinking that they're like a cute family and they're right. Just like not.
They're not.
It was like kind of painful to watch, but I know that like for the fans of like the kids, they probably ate that up.
Yeah.
But then to see it all come crashing down was like really justifying for me.
But it was interesting because for so long, like I was on Logan's side when he was alive. Like mm-hmm. His kids were really entitled and they didn't deserve his business and they just wanted it because they thought they should have it, not because they actually earned, deserved, or are good for it.
Right.
And this was his thing that he built as
but
like
worse than being just like lazy and entitled, they actively worked against him and right. made the last year of his life as stressful right. as possible.
So I was on Team Logan. And then when Logan was out of the picture, I didn't really know where to land. And I think for a while, like the most tolerable kid was Roman.
Yes.
And over the last season, like I just found myself not being able to root for him. And he definitely got, you know, a little ahead of himself. And with the Jerry thing, like he was just fucking weird and like kind of gross. And all like the gross stuff he used to say, like at first it was like a part of his personality. But in this last year it was like, ew, like
yeah.
He couldn't root for him.
No. And he was definitely my favorite kid. I missed the last two episodes where I just saw pieces of them. So I don't really, he seems to have some sort of breakdown. But I also will remember to like the first season when he was like, really, I don't know what the word is, but like twisted,
yeah,
you know,
and dark,
dark. And like, even the first episode, there was like something with the watch and one of the kids, like he was just like gross and I can't think of what the word was, but then when, so I think of him as CEO, I'm like, you're not the right person either. Like you're into like dark stuff. And
yeah,
like,
no, they have too much baggage, Kendall and,
Roman,
obviously Kendall's a murderer. And Roman,
but also like aside from the murder, which is
not a good thing,
not good to murder. He literally like brought all that Cruz's stuff to light. Like he tried so many different ways
to destroy the company.
Like why would you be at the
and
helm
so now
of
he
it?
Cares about keeping it in the family,
right?
But he
but
didn't.
Like you tried to take it from your dad so many times to give it to no one. Like when he was working on his like other projects, like the art collective
right,
thing. Like
right.
I just I can't.
And then Shiv, like, she's the only one who doesn't have, like, this, you know, skeleton-filled closet, but she's the least qualified. She's never worked at the company. She, like, took on a passion project and, like, worked in politics for a while, but she knows nothing about running a business, and she's probably the most entitled out of any of them because she's the least qualified mm-hmm. and really was the last one who would give it up to Kendall. Like, she was the one who took the most convincing. But what was interesting is, like, by the end, I kind of did find myself being like, well, it should be Kendall. And, like, when he didn't get it, I was like, oh, like, it was a weird mix of I hate these kids, none of them are deserving. But by the end, I'm like, well, it should be Kendall. Like, I did want them to keep the business in the family because it was what Logan wanted.
But they did keep the business in the family.
Well, by proxy, through Shiv.
Through Tom.
Right. Now,
But also, Logan was selling to Gojo.
Right.
And he wanted to, and it was the kids who stopped the deal.
That's true, actually.
And he was literally going over there to make the deal happen. So you could say Logan wanted this, Logan wanted that. I really don't think that beyond his lifetime, Logan cared what happened, or else he would have had, like, a much more
stable plan,
concrete will and everything.
Now, the arc of Siobhan, you know, girl bossing her way to the top without ever, like, working a real job, only to end up as the wife of the CEO when she started out as the daughter of the CEO, like, is too rich, honestly. Like, the final scene of the car, like, where she's literally, like, just taking his hand, waiting for him in the car, it was really ironic, and it was very well done. Like, it was poetic how she just tried to girl boss her way to the top, and, you know, she was always the, like, token woman in the room, but she really had no she had no business being there.
No, but, like, beyond being a woman, like, she, that was actually, like, her only qualification to, like, to shake things up.
Right.
Her, like, even at times throughout the seasons when, like, Logan would kind of turn to her, like, she might have been the future of the company. It was because she's, like, a woman.
Right.
And she's, could be more
like ushering in a new era.
But no, now she's just resigned to being a baby maker.
Right. No, and so, like, for that scene, I thought, like, the most powerful scene was when they got in the car and, like, Tom, this, like, dopey fucking moron, who actually was the only one who, like, got up and went to work every day. You know what? He actually gets the job. Like, it was so honestly brilliant.
It was
brilliant.
I can't believe that it turned out so beautifully. Like, I just assumed it would be an ending that I would hate because I've hated most of the show. But, like, Tom is, I mean, everyone likes Tom and Greg the best. I do think they're the least insufferable. But yeah. Also, when it comes to, like, who's doing work, who knows how the business works.
Who is typing and sitting at a desk?
Right. Who's looking at papers and things, not just being like, call,
gotta fly, yeah, bye. Right, right. Like, actually doing a job. It's Tom. Like,
he's worked in cruises. He did ATN. Yep. He's worked for the company for as long as, like, he's known Shiv. Like, he has qualifications.
Yeah.
Maybe he's not the smartest guy in the room, or, you know, he's not going to be the
business. But they don't need the smartest guy in the room.
They have Mattson.
The person is a puppet. And Shiv, Kendall, and Roman were never going to be what Mattson needed.
No, and when Mattson said, like, I don't want more ideas.
Right,
like,
that's so Tom.
I felt that.
Yeah, no, and that's literally Tom to a T. Like, he was up Logan's ass. He was up Shiv's ass. Like, he would just do what people told him to do.
Like, when Tom is asked a question, he will give both answers, yes, yep, and no.
Yep, yep.
He's
yep.
Like, well, I could do this, but also I could see that.
And,
like,
I see value in both.
Yeah.
What did you think about, like, him forgiving Greg in that final moment? Like, they had been through it all, and at the very end, like, Greg fucked it so bad.
Yeah. Greg, I think that he should forgive Greg because, like, he's going to need people by his side.
And who understands better than Tom, like, needing to throw someone under the bus for your own personal
game? And also,
game?
Like, needing to play. But, like, Tom was playing both sides, yep, the whole time, too, like, trying to stay in everyone's good graces. So I think he'll forgive Greg because it worked out. If it hadn't worked out, like, no.
So what do you think happens to the the Roy kids now?
Well, they have a ton of money.
Yeah, because they sold.
Because they sold. So they are buying Pierce still?
Question mark? Whatever happened to that?
What happened to the $10 billion whole episode that we had to watch?
Right. But no, I mean, like, are they forgiving each other? Like, is it irreparable?
I think...
Are Shiv and Kendall going to be, like, you know, Logan and his brother?
I don't think it's irreparable because all throughout the seasons, they, like, hated each other on, off, and
did
then they get back together.
Things.
They'll never, like, be actual good siblings to each other or family because they're incapable. But I just think it's another part of the up and down.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll start the 100.
And the way that, like, Roman went so hard only to just give up, like... He didn't even care. Like, he had, like, when he was CEO with Kendall, he had like a 2-week period where he was a fucking nut job, like calling the election just because he felt like it, like really nuts. And then right after that, he stopped caring. Like he went to the Caribbean and even at the board, like he didn't care anymore.
No, even they're trying to have a conversation about which way they're going to vote and he's walking away and it's like, well, you're not, you can't even have a conversation. How you think you should be CEO?
Right. No, of all of them, on it's a tie for Kendall, for
it's a tie.
Shiv and Roman.
It's a tie 3 for who's the best choice and it's a tie of 3 for who's the worst choice.
No, if there is a choice, it's Kendall.
No, because.
But that doesn't mean he's a good choice.
Kendall did the most harm to the company over the years.
Yeah. No, and Kendall's just, and like, Roman, dumb. And Roman, like,
worked for the company. He worked in L.A. in the studios.
Yeah, yeah, but, like, it's not
so
Roman.
So did Kendall, though.
Yeah. Well, that's that on that. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Succession. But, like, I just want to say I loved how it shook up.
Me
at
too.
The end.
Me too. It was really kind of stunning. And honestly, I think Logan would have liked it, too.
I think so, too. And also, Tom was the only one who never betrayed Logan.
Mm-hmm. Because he's a puppet.
Yeah.
He's a pawn.
So really, Mattson is in charge.
Yeah.
And the company moves into the future with an eccentric tech CEO.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess, like, Tom is going to wipe out everyone who was, like, they never included him. Like, Frank, Carl, Jerry. He's wiping them all out. He's the big man now, and he's got, like, vendettas.
Yeah.
Now he's, like, as an actual powerful person, he's more powerful than all the people who he, like, sought attention from.
Yeah.
Who never gave it to him.
But I could also see him keeping them on and, like, just making them grovel.
Oh, yes, because he's also, like, a little bit, like, Machiavellian evil.
Yeah, he likes to do it with Greg, and yeah. Now he's got more power.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's going to be a father. Everything's coming up Tom.
I'm ready for the Tom sequel.
The Tom spinoff.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And I don't know, maybe it was because he was, like, finally in charge, but, like, I was like, yeah, Tom's hot.
Yeah, also, obviously, Tom and Shiv are not a love match. Mm-hmm. And when they were finally, like, honest with each other on the balcony, like, that was really refreshing. But I also feel like they can make it work.
You know, I ship.
Yeah, like, I don't think that.
I mean, I hope to God for her. Like, that's really all she has.
Yeah. Well, no, she has, like, billions of dollars.
Oh, of course, of
course.
Now
she'll have a baby.
Right, she can get into charity work.
And she could also, like, meet someone else. Mm-hmm. But I think, like, this life is the life that she's meant for, you know?
Yeah.
Her husband's the CEO of Roystar Royco.
Yeah, it's nice.
Okay, couldn't be me, but I really appreciated her about face. And then by the end, I got it. You know, it's like, should it be Kendall who is the
devil
the
you know?
Worst?
The devil you know, Tom. Or the devil
also,
you don't.
The devil that you, like, she controls Tom, like, can control Tom.
Kendall is, like, so wild and really, like, a wild card.
Loose cannon.
She chose Tom over Kendall. And if that ain't saying a lot, then I don't know what is.
Yeah, you would do it, too.
You would do it, too. So that's your Succession series finale recap. But don't be upset. The episode is not over. Please continue listening for our interview with Brooke Eby. She is a delight. I think you guys will love her. It's a great, fun-filled episode and interview. And that's our show. So without further ado, I present to you Brooke.
The interview.
The inimitable Brooke Eby.
The wickedly talented Brooke Eby.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Welcome back to The Toast. We are so excited to be sitting down with an extremely special guest. We have a toaster. We have an advocate. We have a TikToker. Jealous. we are sitting down with Brooke Eby, who is a toaster in her heart, correct?
In my heart, deep in there.
Okay, good. But she's also a TikToker who has been documenting her amazing journey with her terminal diagnosis of ALS. Her TikToks were popping up all over my For You page like a week ago. And then everyone started tagging me in one of her videos. She had been asked, you know, is there any sort of list you have, sort of like an ALS bucket list that you would love to do? And one of the things on her list was to come on The Toast. So I was not okay. Immediately, you know, had to make everything about myself. And I reached out, and a few days later, here you are. Hello, Brooke. Welcome to The Toast.
Hi. Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. I know I was listening to your show a couple days ago and I was like, guys, I manifested this. It's like, did. No, everyone tagged Claudia.
Yeah. See, that's the same thing.
That's what manifestation is.
That's
days.
What we call it these days. But thank you so much for having me.
We're so excited to have you. And we're so flattered that
we're on your list.
A big part of your life and that this is such an honor.
I know. It was like an 8-bullet list. I call it the adult make-a-wish, mm-hmm. And Toast was on there.
That is such an honor for us. We are so excited to have you. So I'm sure, you know, a lot of people have seen your TikToks. It's ALS Awareness Month, so a lot of your posts have been going really viral. But for some of our, you know, not TikTok-friendly users and listeners.
Even though you are on Reels.
She is.
My Reels fans, yeah. Reels fans are real fans.
100%.
She said it.
She said it.
She said it.
Tell us about your journey. You know, your diagnosis, how long it's been going on, and then your decision to document the whole journey on TikTok.
Yeah, absolutely. So I started having symptoms in 2018. I actually was listening to the Toast throughout my 4-year diagnosis period. So this is a bizarre coming of age moment. But I started limping in 2018. Like, I work in the corporate world. I was living in New York City, and I just started limping on the way to a conference. And all my coworkers were like, you should probably get that checked out.
Yeah.
And I did, but they could not find anything for basically a year. Then I had basically 4 years of testing where they could not diagnose me. They couldn't figure anything out. And then beginning of last year, I started noticing I was limping on the other side as well, which is when they were able to test me and officially give me an ALS diagnosis, which some people know as Lou Gehrig's disease.
Mm-hmm.
All the baseball people know it as Lou Gehrig's disease. But I know. I don't look much like him. So I,
no, you're beautiful, stunning, and smart.
But yeah, so 4 years of diagnosis, really the diagnosis process. And then once I was diagnosed, it took me like 2 to 3 months of straight depression, like sitting in my bed, binge eating M&Ms. I listened to your book on tape, like all of these things come back to the Toast. But I didn't know what to do. And I was just like, how do I process this? How do I grieve what I thought, you know, my 30s were going to be, the rest of my life was going to be. And then I had to go to a wedding where you've probably seen this on TikTok, but I had to use a walker at a wedding with all of my college friends. Like, can you imagine anything more embarrassing than like waddling your way in your bridesmaid dress? But like an hour into it, the bride was limboing under my walker. I was giving people walker rides all over the dance floor. Like, it just ended up being so fun.
Yeah.
And so I was like, you know what? I feel like I should start sharing this story with more people, because if I'm able to laugh about it, and I think people are so scared to ask questions about anything serious when it comes to like a terminal diagnosis. No one wants to say the wrong thing. They're afraid of being like inappropriate or, you know, offensive. But I figured if I could laugh about it and start making videos about it, then maybe we could spread the word a little bit more.
Yeah. I mean, because when I saw your TikToks, I'm like, oh my God, this girl has such energy. Like, she radiates positivity and you're always smiling. But I was curious if, like, you know, when you first got the diagnosis, there was like a dark period, because I think that's a very natural reaction.
It was bleak. Yeah, it was a couple months of just like survival. And I was not in a good place when people would ask me about it. Like, I couldn't talk about it. So I actually think making videos for like TikTok and Reels,
of course,
have really made me comfortable talking about it. And I just feel like we can laugh about it a little bit now, even though some people write like, why is she smiling? And I'm like, I can't help it. I don't know. It's just my face.
You have a beautiful smile.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, there's so many, I think people don't want to tap dance and don't want to say the wrong thing. But I think your attitude is so amazing. Like, even I that's very much my our philosophy. Like, you got to laugh about things in life, because, you know, you'll drive yourself crazy if you don't. And I'm curious what the reception to your videos, like, you go deep, you talk, and I learned so much from your TikToks. Like, you know, you said you were working in the corporate world, and then you did a whole video on like your job situation. So I feel like it's really educational, and there is a natural curiosity.
Yeah, I think, I mean, I've largely been amazed by the reception. Like, I know that the social media world can get to a really dark and mean place. So the first couple of videos, I was so nervous to post. Like, I made my best friend be in the first one, because I'm like, you're going down with me if we get embarrassed. But ever since, I get like pretty much all nice responses.
That's
and
so
a
nice
lot of them
hear.
Are a lot of them are questions too. Like, people want to know, like, how do you feel about, you know, like, assisted death? It's like very dark questions, but I want people to feel comfortable asking them. So it's been really nice. And I would say like 99% are about ALS, and then like 1% is about my hair, always.
Or your like hair.
You look like blank. I don't know if you guys get these too, but like, you look like blanks are
so offensive. They're
like,
so offensive.
Claudia hates that. Who do you get?
Okay, I'll tell you the nice ones first, and then I'll end on the Whopper, because it has been haunting me. I get, who's that singer? Phoebe Bridges. I get her.
Oh, okay.
And then I get Ellen Pompeo a lot.
Yes.
I could see that.
I get a couple Lindsay Lohans, but I think that's just because my hair is reddish.
Yeah.
But the cruelest one, and I have the screenshot still because I'm like, I can never forget this. It said, "You look like pregnant Blake Lively because her lips were thinner."
People are not fucking okay, bro.
I'm like, not only is it like, so you look like Blake Lively at her worst, plus mine is a really good quality of hers.
Right, her lips.
So, yeah, that was a dark one. And I wrote back, like, why did you have to say pregnant? And she never responded.
Right. I think you actually look like Megan Fahey from...
Yes!
Yeah, I've gotten that one, like, twice, and I've, like... I wish TikTok didn't take away the pinning thing because I would have pinned those. Like, I'll take that all day.
You do. That's a really good call. See, it's only okay to tell someone who you think their celebrity doppelganger is if their celebrity doppelganger is, like, insanely beautiful.
No, but, like, right. I feel like someone could think they're paying you a compliment and then you think actually that person is, like, less beautiful than you. So it could go either way, which is why it's, like, never really a great thing to do. And my Claudia takes so much umbrage with it.
Yeah.
But I do think it's a fun exercise, usually. Yeah.
A little game.
Yeah.
I've never heard it before with a preemptive pregnant, though. Like, that has to be a very new game.
No, when she's not pregnant, you look nothing like her.
Yeah, no, I don't see it.
That's so brutal. Funny. So your life is, like, kind of really changed, obviously because of your diagnosis, but also because of your TikTok. Like, I know you were on the Today Show recently.
Yeah.
Tell me about that.
Oh my gosh. It was crazy. Like, the social media world is so crazy to me because I mean, you guys have been doing it for so long. Like, I just started a TikTok last summer and I basically had to YouTube, like, how to make a TikTok. Like, none of it was new to me or none of it was, you know, common to me. And so I just started making videos hoping for the best. Some of them would get, like, no views. And then if I posted a dating one, like, it would go viral. And so I was like, okay, there's something here. Like, if I can capture people's attention for, like, 10 seconds, then maybe they'll start being more interested in learning about ALS. Because I don't think many people know what ALS is. Like, the Ice Bucket Challenge is probably about it.
Yeah.
And so I just sort of started going for it. And, like, you think back to when you have, like, you know, 40 followers and the videos I was posting, I'm like, how is I not a little embarrassed? Like, oh, talking into my camera, like, hey, guys. no. So, yeah, the Today Show reached out to me on Instagram. They DM'd me, like, hey, we want to write an article about you and about your diagnosis. And once that article came out, the producer of the actual show was like, hey, we want to have you on our show. And so I went, like, 2 weeks ago. I was in the city. It was the most blur of a morning I've ever had, but it was so cool. Like, that's Savannah. She's something else.
That's Savannah.
She's something else.
Well, like, she is something else.
So who do you have around you during this time? Like, what is your village like?
Yeah, so I work all day.
What do you do?
So I work at Salesforce, so I'm in tech. Hmm. And I'm technically on the clock right now, so just part of my day.
It's a long
lunch. You guys are my clients,
100%.
And we need help with our Salesforce, and we're hoping that you can give us those tools.
Exactly, I'll give you all the tips. So during the day,
for Salesforce,
literally.
Yeah, no, I keep saying their name, and I'm like, should I just say a big tech company? Because I don't know, it sounds like I'm being paid by them.
It does.
So it's just me and my dog during the day mostly, and then my family lives, like, all within the Maryland area. So my parents are 10 minutes away for half the year. They're actually in Florida, the other half in Jupiter. And then my sister's, like, 40 minutes away. My boyfriend's, like, 30 minutes away. So I have a bunch of neighbors who have, like, quickly become my friends because I'll be like, guys, I can't load my wheelchair into my car, and they'll have to come, like, be my muscle. So yeah, I feel like in the weirdest way, I was set up for the easiest version of having a really bad diagnosis. I had a really good group of friends. I had a really close family. I'm still getting a paycheck. Like, everything was kind of set for me to be able to say, okay, let's just focus on the problem at hand.
Yeah. And how long have you been with your boyfriend?
7 months.
Oh, so it's new.
I started dating in post-diagnosis.
How did you meet?
Yeah. He's a little nuts for doing that, but I met him. So he's my sister's husband's best friend.
Oh, that's so I've known so him. Cute. It's like a book.
I know. People are like, you need to write a rom-com about this.
Yes, you do. Claudia will read it.
As long as it's smut,
extra
I'll read
spicy.
It.
Yeah. Yeah, no, probably not. But yeah, so we met like 15 years ago at my sister's wedding, I think. It was probably the first time. But we never lived in the same place. I was always in New York or San Francisco. He was always in Maryland. And so when I moved back, my sister was like, well, I think it's time. And so we just like started texting and then we hung out. But then I was diagnosed, so I went dark on him for like months. And then once I started coming to, he like invited me to a wedding, which I quickly said no to because I was like, I will not show up in with a cane in your wedding. But yeah, we started dating shortly after that. And it's been good. It's weird dating with like this sort of hanging over you. Mm-hmm. You have to ask some really serious questions early on. Like the kids question had to come up on like date two.
Yeah.
I think on date three, I was like, so if my arms ever stop working, like, would you wipe my butt? Like, you have to ask really uncomfortable questions. And it's like, these are all things that we'll probably at some point have to ask our partners.
Right.
But like, not when you are like in your 30s, you know? Right.
Not, you know, a few months
and
in.
And courting and like showing,
right.
you know.
Right. Like showing
you
your
best
self.
Don't even like fart.
Yeah, right, right. But I will fart, but can you wipe my ass?
That's exactly the phase we are in at 7 months,
that
I would say. Like,
so
that's the perfect
funny.
Explanation.
Were you, like, actively seeking out a relationship? Was dating a priority for you when you met him?
So I had gone on the dating apps, but that was even more confusing because I'm like, do I just write it in my profile? Right. Like, hey, I'm terminal, but also cute. Like, get at me. And so
that,
I made...
like, so you. You are also cute.
I made a profile and... I just like, I was getting like a lot of nice responses. I just really didn't know how to handle it. Yeah. So I kind of just avoided, like, I didn't want to have to tell a stranger on the first date about this stuff. Like, especially on dating apps when you know you're like a swipe away from another option. I just was like not confident enough for it. Yeah. And so I kind of had given up on the idea of a relationship period. I was like, I guess, you know, that's just not really going to be part of my life. I've other things to focus on now. I have this purpose. And then Brian just came crawling in, you know?
I'm obsessed.
I know. He's a cutie.
So all in all, like when you look back on the last few years and the journey you have ahead of you, like how do you describe it? Like what is your disposition? Like I know you feel very compelled to like advocate and have more people know about ALS, but like on a personal level, like does the future scare you at all?
So this is sort of a weird thing to try to explain because I don't think I could understand it unless I was given this diagnosis. But for me, like, I do not picture a future. And that sounds so sad, but it's honestly, I think it's my brain protecting me. Yeah. Like, I honestly think we all have really protective brains because once I was diagnosed, those 2 to 3 months, I was thinking like, okay, so I'm not going to have kids. I'm probably not going to, you know, like be this corporate baddie that I thought I was going to be, like all of that just kind of, I was grieving it. Yeah. But once I kind of got past that, I was like, now if anyone asked me like, oh, what are your plans, you know, for when you progress further? I'm like, couldn't tell you. Like, I don't, my brain just doesn't want to go there. And so I don't really think about the future. And I actually think it's made me a lot happier. Like it's almost a relief in a sense because you're like, I don't have to worry about everything I was worrying about before.
Yeah.
It's really just about like making sure I'm happy, making sure I feel good. And it's like, Claudia, if you don't break out into Live Like We Were Dying at one point during
Dead.
This, I feel
live
like.
Live like you were dying. No, by the way, I feel like that's actually a really healthy way of looking at things. Yeah. Like that's definitely a defense mechanism for like your psyche to protect you. But I think that actually sounds really healthy and gives you the ability to wake up every day
positive
and be happy. Yeah. And just take, and I think that's what everyone does on some level. Like you're just trying to make it through one day at a time.
Right.
Like we all never know how things are going to work out for us, but if we can make it through today, we'll be okay.
Exactly.
Well, we know you're a big pop culture girly. And
you wanted to come on the toast, so we're going to toast.
We're going to give you the toast treatment.
We're going to give you the toast treatment.
I would like really wanted to learn as fast as you did the ending, but I couldn't do it. It's like truly a skill.
No, the thing is.
But you could practice an like you could do your own ending. Like when Claudia doesn't do it and I do it, like I kind of ad lib. So when we close.
It's all you.
It's
oh,
gonna
God.
Be all
oh,
you.
I should
but
never
do
have said anything.
But do your own thing with it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe we'll get something that becomes part of the new ending. Something fresh. We love fresh.
Okay, pop culture wise. So, a lot going on in the universe right now. Kardashians, like, kind of going through this unique period. What is your take on the current state? Give us like a state of the union on the Kardashians right now.
They could give us so much exposure in the ALS world.
They're so famous.
Yeah. And I think my next TikTok series is going to be like pitching celebrities on why they should donate to ALS. Mm-hmm. And I feel like Kylie would be a really easy one to do because like I already have the lip kits. I could just like talk like her, sell to her a little bit. So I think that's going to be my next series.
Is that, you know, like an issue in the ALS community, like searching for a cure? Is it a lack of funds?
It's very underfunded. Mm. And it's crazy because like the Ice Bucket Challenge raised $150 million.
Wow.
That helped fund like one medication. Wow. And so it's not a matter of like them, you know, not knowing. There's a lot that needs to be done. Like, we don't understand why people get it. We don't understand why people progress faster with it than others. And so I think money towards research is really what my focus has been in terms of funding. That's where I donate a lot of my money. And so, yeah, I feel like the concept of it being underfunded, like, needs to be more spoken front and center.
Yeah,
I didn't realize that.
I didn't realize that either.
What other kinds of funding is there for ALS aside from like research? Like, is there for medication?
There's like buckets. Yeah, there's like, I would say there's like the cure bucket, and that's like research and medications. And then there's like the care side of things where patients, you know, need like wheelchairs. They need adaptations. They need like feeding tube surgery. Like basically with ALS, all of your muscles stop working. So like one by one, you become fully paralyzed. And that includes like your lungs can stop, like your swallowing can stop, your speech is gone. So like everything is basically like machine, relying on machines at a certain point. And so the care bucket is really like making sure that patients have what they need. Because I think like a lot of people, I mean, with any disability, like you're more likely to go into serious poverty. So that's the other bucket. And like I said, I feel really lucky that I'm still working. So I have the money to take care of that part for myself. Mm-hmm. So I focus on giving more money to research, but people have their preferences.
Yeah. No, it gets expensive.
Yeah.
Our, you know, whole life in the last few months has revolved around Tom Sandoval and his insane mustache and just horrible personality. What is your take? Like, obviously you're Team Ariana, but you have any thoughts on the situation?
Any hot takes you want to share with the class?
Yeah, a hot take perhaps.
I just can't get over, he keeps popping up on my TikTok, like his band keeps popping up on my TikTok. The accent work he was doing, like he thinks that's a skill. Like he was home practicing accents in the mirror before these shows.
No, he really thinks he's like Elton John. Like that's the type of delusional person we're working with here.
Yes, like he thinks he's going to be like a one-namer in the future, you know?
Cher, Tom, Madonna.
Exactly. 100%. It's brutal. Like every time I'm like so ready to swipe away and then I'm like, is he singing, you know that 99 Red Balloon song?
Yeah.
Like full Scottish accent as he's doing it. It's so painful to watch.
He's so weird.
I can't imagine like being in the front row as his girlfriend being like, that's my
this
man.
Rocks. No, that's such a good point. Like imagine, that honestly could never be me.
I guess you just get kind of like lovesick, you know, where you just feel like blindly supportive, but man, brutal.
What about Succession? Are you watching Succession?
It's like the worst show.
Thank you, Brooke.
Of all time. I have watched everything
Brooke
except
us.
Yeah, no, you can. I'm terminal. People can't come for me. That show is like, it has had the same plot of every episode for like every single season.
Yeah.
And you'd think the finale, like they'd be going out with a bang. Honestly, like the episode where Logan died was like a nice change, but then they went right back to it in the following episode, and it's like Kendall's like back to being a little nutty.
Yeah,
yeah.
The whole thing is just so painful to watch. I can't I can't believe, and you don't like Tom and Greg. That's the only like thing that can kind of get me through it.
That's yeah. what a lot of people say, but I see right through them.
I like Tom. Greg doesn't so much do it for me. I also feel like Greg, like there were a bunch of blinds about him, like
yes.
being super creepy in clubs, and yes. that kind of like ruined the Greg character.
By the
for
way,
me.
I completely agree.
I thought
agree.
He was like so beloved.
He was, and then like you know, likability is a prison. Mm-hmm. And there was all these blinds. None of it is confirmed, but like he's like being accused of being like really fucking weird.
Oh, I
just
missed
like
that.
Taking home a lot of girls and like talking about how he's on the show. Who knows if it's true? Like. I mean, he's like a tall, cute guy. I feel like he doesn't need it, but
yeah.
Yeah, it just kind of ruins his character for me. But Tom still has me.
Tom is enjoyable at times, but also he gets on the hamster wheel of like not stopping talking about nothing.
Yeah, he's tolerable.
Sometimes.
So what other things were on your list?
I got Shiv too.
You got with a different like. Hair. With different
no,
hair.
I don't see it.
You're missing it. I
don't
see it.
See it either. No. I don't see a lot of them, though. I feel like it's hard to see on
it's
yourself.
Hard to, but it is hard to see on yourself.
Yes.
Like, so many people will tell me I look like someone. I'm like, I really don't see it. But I guess if everybody says it, there's
roll
something
over
yeah.
there.
There's something.
Shiv is a really weird character, too. Like, I feel like every time they focus on her, she's making crazy eyes and they're playing scary music. And I'm like, is this supposed to be deeper than I'm thinking it is? I don't understand. Yeah. I'm not into the show. I'm really glad it's ending.
Me too. Okay, can you walk me through some of the other things on your list? Like when you had to sit down and be like, these are the things I would love to do. What is like the,
yes.
what are, name a few of them. And then what's like the thing that you,
your number one,
number
thing.
One.
I think they're pretty equally weighted, honestly. But one of them was have, a lunch with like Amy Poehler, Tina Fey, like that group of girls, because I feel like if you have a lunch with them, like they'll get to know you and they'll like you and then you'll be friends forever.
That's like always like what I think.
Yeah, it's like the multiple wishes situation. Yeah, so that's
right, and then it's just the start of your friendship.
I know. But like I also was like, they can bring whoever they want to.
Course,
like if they want to bring like Steve Carell or Kristen Wiig, like I am down.
Yeah.
So that was one. The other is like having a sleepover with Taylor Swift so she can tell me secrets. I honestly think like I could be a really good vessel for celebrity secrets because like for all they know I could die tomorrow. And so it's like I want to know like what happened in that Beyonce elevator. Like I should be the one to know.
No, and you deserve to know.
I deserve it. I've earned this, guys.
Are you a really big Swiftie?
I am, although I'm not going to the concert because, well, one, I like didn't want to go through the hellscape of ticketing, but two, like in a wheelchair, I don't really know how that works. I imagine they have like sections.
They do. I have actually
like,
heard the concert.
People, I feel bad. Like the people in front of me would feel bad standing.
No, you're totally fine. Actually heard Taylor's concert is very ADA friendly. And most stadiums are like, there are sections and you're at the front of the section. Like you're perched that you actually have some of the best seats in the joint.
Okay. So I should have added that to my Make-A-Wish. I mean, although people are like, when I did that Make-A-Wish, I thought it was going to be a fun activity where everyone would write their Make-A-Wishes.
Yeah.
And instead, like people started tagging like, Taylor Nation, Claudia Ashray. I was like, oh God, this is like taking a turn for like actual Make-A-Wish. Like
good.
I was thinking it would be like a little fun activity
exercise.
Where I get to see like what people want to do.
Have other people reached out? Like are other wishes going to come true?
So the one of them was hang out with a penguin, which like some of these I just put in like as to be like funny. Like one of them I wrote, have the Friends cast call me their friend, and people tagged Courtney Cox. I'm like, God, no.
Well, you
like,
know what? Courtney Cox is always thirsting out on TikTok. I'm telling you, she's going to respond to you.
Perhaps. Yeah, the penguin one, a lot of people have been contacting zoos on my behalf, and
oh,
I'm like, I
God,
probably could have done this one myself, and I just
so
like didn't
funny.
Put in the effort. But
well, I just think you're fabulous. I think you're just a gorgeous girly with such a great energy and such a beautiful smile. And I have loved chatting with you. And the fact that the toast in any tiny way has been a part of your journey makes me so happy. And I just can't thank you enough for coming and chatting with us.
Thank you so much. I've loved being here.
A pleasure.
See, we loved having you.
You guys make sure to follow girl, your fucking TikTok username. What the fuck is that?
Oh my God, we have to talk about it. So
yeah, I want to plug it and I can't even say it.
Yeah, I didn't like I said, when I started TikTok, I had like 10 followers and I was talking to myself most of the time. So I started, my symptoms started with a limp. And so, you know, the band Limp Bizkit.
Of course. I get the reference.
I threw my name in the middle of it. So it's Limp Bruise Kit. But come to find out that Limp Bizkit is like a very filthy sex act. Did you know this?
Oh, be right back. Hold on. Let me just only, let me get on Urban Dictionary.
Only like the men, only a certain percentage of men in my life have come forward to be like, you might want to think about changing it. Because
if I'm using, you know.
It's not a common one, I would
right,
say.
And like, I mean, Limp Bizkit, the sounds band like, is so much more common.
Oh, right. My God. Do you want to read it out loud?
Yes.
You Limp like, Bizkit. Use your judgment.
According to Urban Dictionary. Oh, wait. Oh, my God. I'm literally getting a virus. Okay. Several guys stand in a circle around a biscuit. They all begin to jerk off, ejaculating onto the biscuit. I'm not reading the last sentence. I'm not reading
it. Show it to me.
Oh, there's more. Oh, debate.
The last person to finish ejaculating has to eat the biscuit.
Like, bro, I based the disability awareness campaign off of that.
Listen, it is not too late to change your username.
I know. Well, now TikTok just shows like Brooke Evie. Yes, so I feel like it's fine. It's kind of hidden. But yeah, I really committed. I tied a, what's the phrase? Like I tied my horse to the wrong
post
race.
Or whatever.
That sounds right.
Yeah,
something like that. I get what you're saying. Well,
yeah, it was tough.
If you're looking for Brooke's TikTok, just search Brooke Ebie, Brooke space Eby, right?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Such a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us. Toasters, follow Brooke. Send her love. Tell her beautiful celebrities she looks like. And keep doing the fabulous work that you're doing. It was such an honor to get to talk to you. Seriously, thank you for coming on.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much for having me. This is so surreal.
This is your time.
Okay. Thank you so much for listening to the toast. This millennial. Do you still do Millennial Morning Show? The Millennial Morning Show?
We go live.
Feel free to subscribe. We go live. And then it's like Stitcher's. Dreamcast podcast, right?
You nailed it. Nailed
Something
it.
About wickedly talented. That is my favorite pop culture moment in history is Same. Wickedly talented. I say it all the time. I said it in one of my TikToks and people started commenting like, I knew you were a toaster. And I was like, oh my God.
There's something about like the W, wicked, like the wind up, wickedly talented.
And it's like he added an H after the W. It's like wickedly
yes,
talented.
It's like a whistle. Wickedly
There's something
talented.
So strange about that whole thing. Like that's no. another secret I want to get in.
Yeah, by the way, because there was something going on that day.
Yeah.
I mean, there's something going on with John Travolta, period.
All the
like,
time.
I need to know.
It all.
Add it to the list. 100%.
Add it to the list of secrets.
Yeah. That is so funny. Well, you guys, make sure to follow Brooke. Thank you so much for joining us. And you guys, we'll see you on tomorrow's episode. Bye.
Love you. Bye.